Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Suffer Well devotional series. We're going to read the devotion, and then we're going to get into the teaching here today. And this one is called Vernacular. So I'm going to read this now. It says, "The origin is profound, to say the least. Vernacular comes from the root word, which means a slave born in the master's house, rather than abroad. Keeping this root meaning in mind will then be greater illumination and spiritual significance to the definition of vernacular. It describes the normal, common, or native language spoken in a province. It's the vocabulary of the national or domestic language, as opposed to foreign words. In the world of architecture, vernacular refers to buildings that have domestic functions. Now let's blend these high concepts together so we can extract the spiritual significance. Even if born a slave, it is completely natural to learn and adopt the language of the master of the culture. It is the functional choice for what master would have his servant learn any language other than that which fosters perfect understanding of all that master requires. Consider who your master is, and then ask, what language am I speaking? You were born again into Yahweh's house. Before that time, you were separate from the Messiah, excluded from citizenship of Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. You were far removed until the shed blood of the Messiah made you a citizen. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of Israel, and also members of Yahweh's household," Ephesians 2, verses 12 and 13 to 19. "You were once bound to a different master and spoke a different language. Your new master uses kingdom vocabulary and speaks the language of heaven when he communicates with you. Your redemption requires that you learn this new language, the native tongue that the master uses to rule his dominion. Province, his domain. When you become a citizen who speaks the native tongue, foreigners will struggle to understand you. You will appear to them as being very peculiar." Deuteronomy 14, verses 2. 1 Peter, verse 2 and 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. "Be not dismayed that you of all of a sudden seem strange to these aliens. You are not being sent to a people of obscure speech and strange language, but to a people of Israel." Ezekiel 3, verse 5. "You are being sent to those who speak the same vernacular, slaves born again into the master's house, who now speak the king's language. Was this not precisely Yahweh's instruction to Yahshua? But he answered and said, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Matthew 5, verse 24. The sheep being sought after have a name, it is Israel. Whether born in a house and separated at birth, or a slave grafted in, read Romans 11. The language of heaven is for those the Father calls Israel. The vernacular of the kingdom of heaven was never meant to be understood by the masses' loved one. It was, however, meant to rule the masses. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice." Isaiah 32, verse 1. "Come out from among the native. Leave Babylon behind. Learn the language of heaven, and if you are disdained to rule, it is your work to perfect the vernacular. Perhaps the kingdom come will be. The kingdom has come. What language are you speaking?" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a great devotional we have here. And we look at the scriptures that they ask us to read here today. And we look at Romans 11 and what exactly Romans 11 says about these different languages, the languages we speak and how we're identified. And we also look at who is Israel and what Israel's is. It says in Romans 11, it goes on and on, all about the languages and the different languages that we speak. Well, in part of that language, our Creator has given us a covenant. He's given us a covenant. And a covenant is a promise between two people. It's a contract. And it doesn't have to be two people. It's really two sides. So you have the side of a wonderful Creator, and you have the side of the people He's given it to. He's given this covenant to two people. It's an agreement, and a vow is made to keep the covenant. That's what it is. Today, they call it a contract, and you need signatures to make it official and everything else. But in those days, the word was bond, and it meant everything. Today, that's not the case, but that's how it was back then. And the covenant simply said, if you listen to me and follow this covenant, I will be your Elohim. I will protect you. I will bless you. I will be with you. The problem today is people call this the Mosaic covenant. They call this the law of Moses. We have the misunderstanding. This covenant was not between Moses and the people. This covenant was between Yahweh and the people. Moses was, as I may say, the lawyer or the messenger or the person presenting it. But the covenant was between Yahweh, a wonderful Creator, and the people. Now, when I say the people, I say the people because it's all people. It's not just to one person. That covenant expands to all people. And he said, this is my instructions. This is my guidelines. This is my part of the deal. Follow these things, and I will be your Creator. That was it. That was it. It says in Leviticus 26:46, these are the statutes and ordinances and the laws which Yahweh established between himself and the sons of Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai. Romans 9:4 says, who are Israelites, to whom belong the adoption as sons, and the glory and the covenants of the giving of the law, and the temple service, and the promises. You see, as long as we have the opportunity to keep our side of the covenant, we're supposed to. You cannot keep what you can't keep. There are some parts of the instructions or the commandments we can no longer keep today. There are some parts that were never for us. So in this covenant, it said, these are the do's and these are the don'ts. Do this and don't do that. Do this and don't do that. I'm a man and I know it. And the Bible says this is what a man should do. This is how he should do it. The Bible also says this is what everyone should do. The Bible also says if you're a farmer, this is what you should do. I'm not a farmer. I'm not a woman. Those don't apply to me. But the things I have the opportunity and can do, that applies to me if I'm keeping my part of the covenant. It is our responsibility to read the contract. You buy a car or a house, hopefully before you sign that contract, you read it over and you see what your responsibility is. And then you make the decision, I'm going to follow this. I'm going to do this. Or you go on faith and you say, I trust the other person. I hope you don't trust a used car salesman, but you can trust our Creator. He only wants the best for you. You sign that contract with your vow. You say, I will follow him and he will be my Elohim. And you do his guidelines and instructions. The problem today is the church is teaching people to break this covenant. The church is falsely teaching that the instructions of this covenant or the agreement of this covenant is done away with. Again, it is not between Moses and the people. It's between our Creator and the people. And when it says Israel in Scripture, the church teaches you are not Israel. You don't have to do that. The church uses this word Gentile. Gentile does not mean non-Jewish. Gentile means heathen. You cannot be a believing Gentile. Once you accept Yeshua as your Messiah, you have to understand you now become the Commonwealth of Israel. Just like the Egyptians came out of Egypt with the Israelites, they had the responsibility of adhering to the Torah, the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. For we say Torah is a Hebrew word for Hebrew people. No, Torah is a biblical word and a biblical principle for biblical concepts for people that want to follow our Creator. That's it. That's it. That's what we must do. And every one of us has an opportunity to do it. And through the grace and the mercy of our wonderful Father, He's given us time. Some people say, I don't understand how this Creator can be so mean and just kill people overnight. No. When the Israelites came into the Promised Land, they didn't just come in on one night. The people had over 400 years and knew they were coming. And only one listened, Hagar. And she was spared. So we have this opportunity. Was it Hagar? I forget the name here. But she hid the slaves and she hid the Israelites but she was blessed for keeping it. But all the other people didn't keep it. They had over 400 years. 400 years. See, we got to understand this. We have to get this. It says in Exodus 2:1, now these are the ordinances which are set before you, written by the hand of our wonderful Creator. And for those that teach that it's done away with, we must no longer do it. For sin is transgression of the law, and if there's no law, how can there be sin? Have you ever pondered that question or asked yourself that question? Sin is transgression of the law according to the renewed covenant. If there's no law, how can there be sin? There is sin. Sin is not adhering to this covenant that our Creator gave us. The language He speaks is found in this covenant. It says in Matthew 7:5-20, don't misunderstand what I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of Yahweh's law will disappear until the purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys Yahweh's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the righteous law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. How much clearer does it need to be? How much clearer does it need to be? So it's our responsibility to search out and read and understand the instructions or the contract or the vows of this covenant. Today, people have break it down to a moral, a civil, and a ceremonial. Nowhere in the scriptures does it do that. You could either do it or you can't. We can no longer do the ceremonial temple laws, because there's no temple. How can we do that? But we could certainly follow our Creator's calendar. We can certainly keep the Sabbath. We could certainly do all the things that it says to do in the moral law of our Creator. And then we look at the judicial system today that goes completely against what our Creator had for us. And it's just a mess because people are following man instead of following our Creator. We must get right with this, and we must not focus on being obedient to our fellow man. We must be focused on being obedient to our Creator. Obedience. You know, it's because of disobedience and a breaking of this vow that created so many problems. In Deuteronomy 21:18-19 says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and they'll discipline him, he will not listen to them. Then his father and mother shall take him and bring him out to the elders of the city, of the place where he lives. Do you understand the consequences of disobeying the instructions that we're supposed to follow in our life? And now they're talking about an earthly mother and father, but how much worse to disobey the instructions and guidelines of our Heavenly Father. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "And Samuel said, Has Yahweh a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice and obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen better than the fat of rams." And Genesis 22:18 says, "And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you've obeyed my voice." You obeyed my voice. Understand when you see the words "if" in the Bible, how significant they are. That means without doing that, you're getting the opposite effect. And it says in Isaiah 1:19, "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." If. We become disobedient children of our Heavenly Father. 1 Peter 1:14 says, "And obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance." Remember vernacular, a new language, a new way, a new life. Romans 6:16 says, "Do you not know that you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves? You are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness." Remember, sin is transgression of the law. That's what sin is. Joshua 1:7 says, "Be strong and courageous. Be careful to what? To obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or left, that you may be successful in wherever you go." Romans 16:26-27 says, "But has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal Elohim, to bring about obedience of faith, the only wise Elohim, to glory forever through Yeshua, a wonderful Messiah." Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:22, "Having purified yourselves by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, one another earnestly from the pure heart." And Romans 5:19 says, "For as by the one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, many were made righteous." We have this great opportunity. The greatest thing we could accomplish in Scripture is love. And if you truly love our Creator, why would you not seek to follow what He told you to do and how He told you to live? It says in John 14:23, Yeshua answered and said to him, whoever, it doesn't say the Jewish people, it says, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling there with him." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, he first loved us, and we love him back. We trust him. We go on in faith. Leviticus 22:31 says, "Be careful to observe my commandments. I am Yahweh." John 14:21 says, "Whoever keeps my commands, keeps them, is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." These are the words of our very Heavenly Father. And He wants us to experience it. This is the day Yahweh has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. And He wants us to have the joy of Him upon us. That's what He wants. And there's so much joy in understanding this covenant and keeping it and knowing the security that He gives us when we follow His holy word. Deuteronomy 5:33 says, "But following exactly the way Yahweh your Elohim commanded, that you may be live and prosper and may have long life in the land which you are about to possess." Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of Yahweh's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. This is your true and proper worship. So that I might come to you with joy, by Yahweh's will, and your company be refreshed." Romans 15:32. How much more do we need? We look at Psalms 119. "For I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. Fixing our eyes on Yeshua, the pioneer of the faith. Hallelujah. That's what we must do. There are consequences for disobedience. There are consequences for living against the guidelines and instructions of our wonderful Creator. Remember, it is all better to obey than to make these sacrifices of animals. And I tell you this all the time. Yahweh has given us a wonderful gift. And that gift is a set-apart spirit to help us, to guide us, and to correct us when we're doing wrong. And the spirit will never make us feel good about living in sin. Will never let us feel good about it. So many people are living against the guidelines and instructions, the vow of this contract, and they feel good about it. And I will submit to you that there's a different spirit leading you. Because the true spirit of Yahweh will never let you feel good about living against his guidelines and instructions. That's important to understand. It says in John 15, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There's no way around it. We can't hide. We can't hide. We cannot hide. Our Creator sees us. He knows what we're doing. He knows how it's going. Philippians 2:8 says, and be found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Are we not supposed to follow Yeshua and what he did for us? Death, death, death. Now let's investigate scripture more clearly. And let's look at King David, who was known to have a heart of Yahweh in Psalms 119. And we look at joy and love, these two fruit of the Spirit, two of the fruits of the Spirit. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of Yahweh. And that's the covenant we were talking about. Those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. Never giving up, always looking, always searching. Not compromising with evil. And they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. Now I ask you, if you have to look at the commandments of the scripture, and there's not just 10, it's more than 10. If you have to look at that, and for the average Christian that says, well, that's done away with, we don't have to do that. The average Christian is keeping 90% of them. But our Creator is not a creator of incompleteness. He's a creator of completeness. He wants us to follow all of them. All of them. And Yeshua says, my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. We carefully follow these and compare your life to them. And my actions would consistently, over and over again, reflect your decrees, making a practice out of following him and his ways and what he wants us to do. Then I will not be ashamed. As I learn the righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. How many of you can say that when you look at the commandments? And you might say you are, but the church today twists these things around. The Sabbath is on Saturday, and people pick which day of the week they want to keep it. People are celebrating the pagan holidays of Christmas and Easter, and they're not following the holy days in Scripture of Sukkot and Passover and all these other days that are not Jewish holidays. They're Yahweh's holy days. People follow Hallmark more than they follow the Scriptures. That's the problem. They'll go out and buy a Christmas or Easter card that are actually pagan holidays, and they won't even acknowledge the days in Scripture that our Creator tells us to follow throughout all our generations. Nowhere. It doesn't say this is for certain people. It says this is for my people. Are you his people? Is this what you want? It goes on to say, be good to your servant that I may live and obey your word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. I am only a foreigner land. Don't hide your commandments from me. I'm always overwhelmed with the desire for your regulations. Desire for your regulations. Your laws please me. They give me wise advice. That's what it does. the instructions, when he laid out that vow, that contract, that covenant, it was for our good. We got the better end of the deal. Do you understand? He was helping us. If you go to buy a house and you're getting the better part of the deal, a deal you can't refuse, you wouldn't refuse it. Well, why do so many people refuse these things today? He says, I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understanding. I long to obey your commands, renew my life with your goodness. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees. Remember your promise. It is to me, it is my only hope. This is how I spend my life, obeying your commands. This was the life of David. This was his life. Your unfailing love fills the earth. Teach me your decrees. This is scripture. This isn't my opinion or my suggestion. This is scripture. To keep his guidelines and instructions. That's what he wants us to do. That's how he wants us to live. Verse 97, oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. All day I meditate on them. Your word is my lamp and a guide to my feet. A light for my path. I've promised it once, and I'll promise it again. I will obey your regulations. I have suffered much, O Yahweh. Restore my life again, as you promised. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to live according to these guidelines and instructions. And sometimes we have to suffer very well to get to this point. Just think about King David saying, in Psalm 119, 127, truly, I love your commands more than gold, even my finest gold. Each of your commands is right. That is why I hate every false way. And we think about Job, when he says in the scriptures, I esteem your words more than my necessary food. That means his words are more important than my life. Powerful, powerful. And in verse 129, your laws are wonderful. No wonder I obey them. Teaching your word gives life, even so the simple can understand. No excuses, no excuses, just solutions and joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I pray that we seek more his word and we stick to this covenant and get back to loving him. Have a blessed day, everybody. Yahweh be with you all, and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33411. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life
Ministry. Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress. Oh, you are my portion. You are my hiding.